Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Once again, we welcome our new affiliate, WMQM, AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee, to the mix. That's a 50,000-watt station that will be bringing us live to all kinds of folks in the greater Memphis area and also throughout the American South. We really appreciate that new relationship and trust that it will expand what we're already doing on the Internet and an international shortwave and with some of our other conventional affiliates. We have two guests today, both of whom will be on in the last hour of the show. From 9 to 9.30 a.m. this morning, we're going to have Elizabeth De La Vega. And from 9.30 a.m. to 10 a.m., we're going to have Adam Hochschild. I will say more about them later. But I found both of these guests through a guy named Tom Englehart that you will find very frequently in places like Mother Jones and Antiwar.com. And both Elizabeth De La Vega and Adam Hochschild have some very, very fascinating things to say to us about American foreign policy. And this will dovetail with some of the guests we've had here in recent weeks that have been talking about some of these same subjects. Both of these folks are very prolific published writers, widely known in the international worldwide web, and I'm going to be glad to have both of them in the last hour of the show. Also hasten to add that in the last weekend, I was starting to do some additional research for topics and guest research on Mark Dankos America. And this weekend, I'm really going to be going through a special list with a fine-tooth comb to bring some folks to you that I think in the next 6 months or so, you're really going to appreciate hearing. William Grigg is going to be my guest on Monday. If you're not familiar with William Norman Grigg, G-R-I-G-G, then you've probably never seen The New Republic. He used to be a senior editor there and writer, a very prolific guy, and ideologically absolutely brilliant. If you check out the Wikipedia online encyclopedia under William Norman Grigg, you'll find a special entry there that says that he has been profoundly impacted by both conservatism, constitutionalism, and libertarianism. And William Norman Grigg, again, is a wonderful writer. I used to read his pieces all the time in the New Republic. He is going to be with us Monday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time to talk about all kinds of things that are dear to the heart of those of us who find ourselves in the old American right. And then as of Thursday of next week, I have a guest who is a medical doctor who's going to be on this show. I found this lady, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, through Elizabeth Wright's News with Views, for those of you who read that paleoconservative service. Elizabeth Wright, by the way, is a wonderful woman. She's an African-American conservative who has been running News with Views for quite some period of time, and we exchange notes and news articles every now and then, and I check her news service because some really good people that identify themselves with the populist right pen for that news service. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be on next Thursday talking about the dangers of vaccines. You know, we hear all kinds of establishment information about vaccines. And, of course, this has been a recent controversy in Texas with the whole issue of Governor Rick Perry and trying to mandate that all school-age young women get this HPV vaccine. That's caused a tremendous amount of controversy. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be addressing that issue next Thursday, along with the whole issue of vaccines generally. So that's going to be a show that's going to bring in the issues of government and interventionism and what the rights should and should not be of American parents, as well as the whole issue of the medical vaccine controversy generally. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. A lot of news stories and ideas to discuss this morning, and you can call me at 1-800-313-9443 throughout the show. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, unsurpassed. uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have two guests today that will be on in the last hour of the show. That's Elizabeth De La Vega and then Adam Hochschild. And I found both of these folks through Tom Englehart, whose posts are very legion throughout the World Wide Web. You'll find him, among other places, at antiwar.com, where he is one of the leading commentators and analysts in terms of the Iraq War. So those two folks, Elizabeth De La Vega and subsequently Adam Hochschild, will be with me in the last hour of the show. And I wanted to also mention that tentatively, the guest that we had drop out yesterday because of illness should be back with us next Thursday as well. That's Dr. Robert Sungenis of the Catholics Apologetics International is scheduled to spend a couple of hours with us this coming Thursday. And once we get that firmed up, we'll let you know, but that's the way it looks right now. And then I have a couple of other people that probably by the end of the day will be scheduled on my show next week, and I'll mention more about who they are this coming Monday. Have all kinds of news stories to discuss, but also wanted to make reference to yesterday's show. I thought that Dr. Alan Quist did an outstanding job coming to us from Minnesota to discuss educational policy. I learned all kinds of things on this show yesterday in talking with him, including what this International Baccalaureate Organization is, IBO, which you can find at ibo.org. If you don't think that the globalists are taking over the American educational process, you've not seen ibo.org. When you really get into Dr. Quist's information about who these people are and the extent to which they have already had tremendous impact in taking over the American educational establishment, just beyond belief. And yesterday I went ahead and posted information about the Quist interview at breakingallthe rules news, which you can find at batr.net/BATR news. Going to be spending some time this weekend not only reading some articles that some of our guests, past, present, and future, have submitted to me for my purview, and I'm going to be doing some guest research as well in regard to specific topics. But I'm also going to be updating the Breaking All the Rules news site this weekend, bringing that up to speed as far as about 10 or 15, maybe 20 articles that I've come across in the last 7 to 9 days that I think are of particular interest to American conservatives. And if you look at the main news page of BATR News today at batr.net/BATR news, you'll discover that I have put a good summary of yesterday's Quist interview on RBN on the BATR site. That is titled, on the main news page, Dr. Alan Quist and the Tucker Plan, the Mark Tucker Plan, for the UNESCO Globalist Takeover of American Education, on Mark Dankos America on RBN Radio, February 15th. The summary for the show yesterday says, Dr. Alan Quist joined Mark Dankos America on the Republic Broadcasting Network on Thursday, February 15th, to discuss the Mark Tucker Plan and its effects to bring the UNESCO Globalist New World Order agenda into a comprehensive takeover of the American educational system. And then I put in red, or highlighted in red for BATR, Dr. Quist estimates that American conservatives and constitutionalists have somewhere between 6 weeks and 6 months to kill the SPEAK Act, which is known as U.S. Senate Bill 224 and H.R. Bill 325. We've got between 6 weeks and 6 months to kill that on Capitol Hill. This legislation is also known as the Dodd-Ehlers Bill. The SPEAK Act is the most significant of a series of bills designed to implement the Mark Tucker UNESCO World Government Game Plan. Dr. Quist also told Mark Dankos listeners today that the passage of the SPEAK Act will mean the end of the ball game for the real American right. I wanted to repeat that. Dr. Quist also told Mark Dankos listeners today that the passage of the SPEAK Act will mean the end of the ballgame for the real American right. The clock is ticking. Dr. Quist warned of the Geneva-based International Baccalaureate Organization and its role in implementing the New World Agenda process of the indoctrination of American students in the social, moral, and cultural mindset of globalism. Check out the International Baccalaureate Organization website for how far advanced the conspiracy is already. And then it says click here. So you can click there to go to the IBO site. You can then access Dr. Quist's sites at BATR by clicking on two other places that I put in that article so that we could get to Dr. Quist's sites from BATR. And I believe those are edwatch.org and edaction.org. And then I proceeded with the Quist biography for those who happen to be perusing BATR this weekend. But that was an outstanding interview, and I thought one of the most interesting questions from yesterday's show was to put this whole business of the SPEAK Act, which again is U.S. Senate Bill 224 and H.R. Bill 325 on the House side of the aisle, also known as the Dodd-Ehlers Bill. I asked him how the opposition to that legislation and to the Mark Tucker educational plan should be seen in isolation from a much larger issue of simply getting out of the United Nations. And he was speaking about, Dr. Quist was, about politics and the art of the possible, speaking about the need to simply focus upon opposing this legislation for now and killing the complete globalist takeover of American education, which could be as little as 6 months away. Or 6 weeks away, no more than 6 months away in his judgment, before there is potentially a final vote in the House and in the Senate on these bills. I at the same time would say that as much as I agree with Dr. Quist on so many issues, and I thought he provided an outstanding interview yesterday, that this latest thing involving the Mark Tucker plan and the utilization of that plan through the so-called SPEAK Act is indicative of a much larger problem, and that is the mere membership of the United States in the UN. And that when we see all of the things coming out of the UN and UN-related affiliated organizations that are trying to take over every aspect of American life, this attempt to keep them out of the educational process and to reduce their role in it should not be seen in isolation from the larger need to simply get out of the UN. And in that regard, I think the John Birch Society has been on the right track with this for many, many years in talking about the need to get out of the UN. And that's something, the UN, that we can talk about with Will Grigg on Monday when he's on the show in regard to where he sees this thing. For it seems to me that in terms of opposing specific pieces of legislation that are being pipelined basically from the UN right into Capitol Hill, that as good as that effort is to stop this SPEAK Act, the so-called Dodd-Ehlers bill, it should not be seen in isolation from the larger need to simply get out of the UN totally. And whether or not that ever occurs remains to be seen. It doesn't look very likely, does it? But I would argue that this, again, is something that absolutely has to be done in the context of getting rid of the institutions of the New World Order once and for all. I came across an interesting book yesterday, by the way. I wanted to mention this one online. How many of you remember General Curtis LeMay? General Curtis LeMay, of course, was the father of the American Strategic Air Command and the leading proponent of strategic air bombing in world history. Very much involved, of course, in the great air war victories over both Nazi Germany and Japan in World War II. His famous raid of March the 9th, 1945, over Tokyo is the stuff of which legends is made. It raises a lot of questions about the whole relationship between strategic bombing and the whole quandary over attacking massive civilian population centers. But at any rate, General Curtis LeMay is the subject of a book put out by a guy named Barrett Tillman, T-I-L-L-M-A-N. And this is a part of a great generals series that I've just encountered at Palgrave Macmillan Publishers. This is very prominently displayed, this book on LeMay, at Borders. I walked in there yesterday, and lo and behold, it was there. I had a special interest in it because my father, on several occasions, was an aide to Curtis LeMay during my father's Air Force career. And LeMay has always been a very fascinating historical figure. And you won't be disappointed in this book, whatever you think of the man now or after reading the book. It's definitely worth your time as far as understanding the history of combat aviation and the whole business of the role that General Curtis LeMay played, in particularly in World War II, but even afterward in the creation of the Strategic Air Command. LeMay's role during the Cuban Missile Crisis is something that I think is more complicated than the depiction of him in the Kevin Costner movie 13 Days. And as we look at LeMay, there is very brief reference made, of course, to his involvement in the 1968 presidential campaign, where those of you who go back that far will recall that he was George Wallace's running mate in the American Independent Party ticket that went up against Nixon, Agnew, and against Humphrey and Muskie in the 1968 U.S. presidential sweepstakes. I remember that election vividly. I was not old enough yet to legally vote, but I had a lot of fun with something that happened at a school in Dayton, Ohio, called Miami Valley School. When we come back, I want to relate that story because it talks about the evidence of political correctness a very, very long time ago. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898. Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com. Or call 800-724-2719.
Back. This is Mark Ancoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a couple of guests today between 9 and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Elizabeth De La Vega and Adam Hochschild. And we'll be asking them all kinds of interesting questions related to American foreign policy. But back to some of our conversations for today in the first couple of hours about books and also about specific items in the news. I mentioned yesterday that I came across this book at Borders by accident, just walked in and there it was, a book on General Curtis LeMay, the father of the American Strategic Air Command. It's entitled LeMay, a biography in the Great Generals series, and the author of the LeMay portion of this series is a guy named Barrett Tillman, T-I-L-L-M-A-N. The infamous General Wesley K. Clark wrote the foreword to this particular piece on Curtis LeMay, and by the way, he wrote a General Clark is not one of my favorites, but he wrote an excellent foreword to this book, and this has just come out, copyright 2007. Again, Barrett Tillman is the author, and as you go through this this particular volume, which is 205 pages long, it's very entertaining, very readable, very much to the point. And the pictures in the book of LeMay are excellent pictures that kind of give you an overall linear timeline of his career and his life. But one of the things that's talked about in this book, toward its end, of course, is the relationship between Curtis LeMay and George Wallace, and the fact that George Wallace tapped Curtis LeMay in 1968 to be the former's running mate on the American Independent Party ticket that went up against Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey that year. A lot of people have forgotten the extent to which that Wallace-LeMay ticket, whatever you think of it, almost threw the American election into the House of Representatives. They made it that close between Nixon and Humphrey. And, of course, Curtis LeMay's involvement in that race with George Wallace was very, very controversial, both in civilian and military circles. And Barrett Tillman's book goes into that from about page 172 onward. But suffice it to say that I had an experience when I was in junior high school in a private academy in Dayton, Ohio, a place called Miami Valley School. The school's still there. It has been an excellent educational ground for a lot of folks who went on to high things in higher education and elsewhere. But in 1968, there was this idea that it would be a great exercise in civic education to have the kids participating in a mock presidential vote and comparing the results of that vote with the actual vote totals and percentages for the three major candidates, Richard Nixon, Hubert Humphrey, and George Wallace. And so there was this mock presidential vote where all of the kids from kindergarten through ninth grade — the school in those days only went up through the ninth grade — but all of the children from age 5 through age 14 got to vote in this mock presidential election. And I remember going into this place where they had an actual machine there that had been provided by the Montgomery County folks in Dayton, Ohio, to give kids the thrill of pulling the same levers that their parents and older brothers and sisters would be pulling for real in those polling places that were counting the votes. So this was kind of a neat deal to actually go into a voting booth for the first time and to see all of the names and the levers and so forth, and to have this feeling at that time — it was a sense of mystique — that you were participating in something that was larger than you were. But, you know, even at the age of 13, I remember all of the political correctness that was beginning to shape secular private and public school education at that time, even in the Midwest. And when I went into that voting booth, I remember seeing Nixon and Agnew and Humphrey and Muskie. And based upon some things that had been said in several of my classes about George Wallace, I thought to myself, you know, it will be interesting to see if I vote for Wallace and LeMay, if that vote will even be acknowledged, if the headmaster, who promised the next day to have a school-wide forum in the auditorium, will be willing to admit that there was at least one person in this politically correct school — it was politically correct many years ahead of its time — will be willing to admit that there was somebody out there who rebelled against the system. And so I made a decision. I reached up to where it said American Independent Party. I pulled the lever for George Wallace and General Curtis LeMay. Then I opened the curtain of the voting machine, which, of course, registered the vote. And then I waited 24 hours. And the next day, of course, the headmaster, a very fine fellow by the name of Walter Truslow — I'll never forget Mr. Truslow, very fine gentleman — he came up before this open forum at the school auditorium, not only involved all of the kids, but many of the parents of these children had come in to lend credence to this exercise in American civics that we were allegedly going through. And, of course, 1968 was a big year because of the tragedy of the King assassination and the RFK assassination and all of the controversy that surrounded the Vietnam War. So there we were in the school auditorium, and the votes were counted, or had been counted, and the headmaster came forth with a piece of paper where he was to announce the results to the kids, and there was a big audio-visual situation set up behind him that put the votes up on a screen even as he was talking. And I'll tell you what happened when we get back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water, in short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have two guests today that will be on with us in the last hour of the show. Elizabeth De La Vega from 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time, and then Adam Hochschild from 9:30 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Again, Monday, we've got a real treat for you folks, the great William Norman Grigg, G-R-I-G-G. I say that with complete and profound respect. Will Grigg is a tremendous writer. He has been a contributor to The Real American Right for a very long time, was once the senior editor and a major contributor to the John Birch Society's new American publication, And Will has signed up to come on here on Monday with me for 1 hour, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I'm sure that you're going to enjoy him. And I have several things to ask him where I really have no idea what he's going to say. And one of the things I wanted to explore with him a little bit on Monday is the whole issue of the John Birch Society's position on Israel and the Israeli lobby, which is something of a mystery to me. And I wanted to see if he might be able to illumine us in regard to that whole subject, as well as a number of other things. But that will be Monday that he'll be on. And really looking forward to that, because William Norman Grigg is one of the real significant people on the American right, as a contributor, as a thinker, as a writer. And I know that you're going to enjoy that show. Back to our conversation about 1968, in the context of a new book on Curtis LeMay by Barrett Tillman. And again, if you've not come across this book, it's brand new. I just stumbled upon the thing at Borders yesterday. I picked it up because my father knew Curtis LeMay and worked for him in the Air Force. And LeMay is one of the more fascinating figures in the history of aviation. And that's a Palgrave Macmillan publication. And Barrett Tillman's work on LeMay, again, is a part of a Great Generals series that Palgrave Macmillan has put out. And if you're interested in these, you can have your choice of Patton by Alan Axelrod, Grant by John Mosier, Eisenhower by John Wukovitz, MacArthur by Richard B. Frank, Stonewall Jackson by Donald A. Davis, and the other general featured in that is the one we're talking about, General Curtis Emerson LeMay of Columbus, Ohio, who became arguably the most significant figure in the history of combat aviation. And he was, of course, the father of the Strategic Air Command, among many other things. And back to 68, where General LeMay was running with George Wallace in third-party presidential sweepstakes that year. I voted for Wallace and LeMay in this 1968 mock election held at Miami Valley School in Dayton, Ohio. I was in the eighth grade, 13 years of age. Got into that secret voting booth and decided that I wanted to formally declare war on political correctness. Even in 1968, being at this private academy in Dayton, Ohio, you could see the general shape of political correctness taking place in American education at that time on a whole host of issues. And, of course, the Vietnam War was one of them. We could get into all kinds of other things related to Earth Day and ecology and environmentalism and governmental spending on health care and 60,000 other things where the party line that is so prevalent today was shaping up even then, particularly in the 60s. Growing up in those days and being involved in watching the transformation of American culture and society that was going on at that point through the educational system really was something to see. And for whatever reason, I grasped some of this stuff. I seemed to understand what was happening for reasons I'm still not completely aware of, and Dr. Alan Quist connected a number of dots for you and for me yesterday in talking about the larger implications of this today. But when I voted for Wallace and LeMay in that election, the next day I was wondering if the headmaster would have the courage to admit that someone in that school did not vote the party line. For, you know, you pick up on these messages as a kid. It became very apparent that in terms of the faculty that would speak out on the political and cultural events of 1968, and only within a certain level of parameter, I suppose, and appropriateness, it was like there were only two people in the race. Nobody was even talking about George Wallace and Curtis LeMay. It was all Nixon and Humphrey. And the traditional framing of the debate in terms that Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report would have been comfortable with, and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the major news networks. You have to remind yourself, of course, that in those days, CNN did not yet exist. Seems hard to believe, but that was true. And so there we were, Headmaster Walter Truslow standing before the crowd in the school auditorium, and a lot of parents came out for this, trying to reaffirm our our almost knee-jerk faith in American civic responsibility. So there was Mr. Truslow. He had an audio-visual screen to work with, and then he had a piece of paper where the results were written in his own handwriting. He announced the vote total for Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew and the percentage of the school that had voted for him for that ticket. He then announced the vote totals for Hubert Humphrey and Ed Muskie with the percentage of the school that had gone for those men. Then there was a moment of silence, and I was seated close enough to Mr. Truslow toward the front of the auditorium that I could see his Adam's apple beginning to bob up and down. It seemed that there was the slight beginning of a bead of sweat on his forehead. And as he looked at his piece of paper, his hands began to imperceptibly shake a little bit as if they were palsied. And then he took a very, very deep breath and then said in a very halting voice that he was trying to keep under control, that for the ticket of Alabama Governor George Wallace and General Curtis Emerson LeMay, there was one vote. There was a complete silence in the auditorium, followed by a gasp from a lot of people that there would have been anyone there in this politically correct crowd who in the secret inner recesses of the voting booth would have dared vote for George Wallace and Curtis LeMay. But I did. And you know, the fascinating thing is that all these years later, for those who were in that auditorium that day, there's still some chat behind closed doors, gossip chat, going back into the nostalgia, things that happened almost 40 years ago, about who it was that might have pulled that lever. I was always the chief target of suspicion because my father was an Air Force colonel serving in Vietnam at that time. My parents, of course, did not vote for Wallace and LeMay, even though my dad knew LeMay and had worked for him and was very friendly with him. They both voted for Richard Nixon. Ho, ho, ha, ha. But I remember that vote for Wallace and LeMay transcended those two men. I was voting in rebellion against something that I did not completely understand at that time, but which I sensed was evil and which I resented very much. And it was the attempt to use the American educational process to assimilate me in social attitudes and values that were defined for me by the National Education Association and by the folks that today comprise the establishment, pipelined with the Mark Tucker educational plan that Dr. Alan Quist talked about yesterday, with all of the UNESCO ideology and the New World Order ideology behind it, that unbeknownst to me almost 40 years ago, I was sensing these things even though I didn't understand them and didn't have the qualitative data to really support my sense of things. But I was striking out against something in that vote in the recesses of that polling booth that year that I'm still proud of. It goes well beyond the fact that I can claim that in the mock election of 1968 at Miami Valley School in Dayton, Ohio, I did not vote for Richard Nixon and did not vote for Hubert Humphrey, and that what I did vote for went well beyond Wallace and LeMay into a greater protest against something that now has completely transformed American society. Think about that one, folks. The next time you feel led to do something that may not seem to lead to much in the short term, but that expresses a larger vote of protest against the spirit of globalization in our age that threatens every right that you have and that I have and that your family members and friends have if they are citizens of this country. This is where we are. Keep an eye on this whole thing in the days ahead. Let's take a look at some news stories then today. Condoleezza Rice is quoted today in Haaretz in Israel as saying that the Palestinian Unity Government complicates U.S. peacemaking efforts. The bottom line, I think, on this story is this, that the State Department does not like the fact that the Palestinians may be coming up with a government and with leadership that is not under the purview of the American State Department. But if you look at the Haaretz story, Jacob Wallace, who is the U.S. Consul General in Jerusalem, is pictured meeting with Palestinian Chairman Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah on Thursday. That's an AP photo. The title of the piece is Condoleezza Rice, PA Unity Government Complicates U.S. Peacemaking Efforts. This is a story by Haaretz correspondent Avi Issacharoff, and it goes on to say as follows. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice reaffirmed U.S. support for Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas, even as she said his plan to govern alongside Hamas militants complicates U.S. peacemaking efforts. Rice suggested Thursday that the Bush administration has strong reservations about Abbas' planned union with Hamas, but she would not confirm that U.S. diplomats have warned Abbas that Washington would shun the new government. Rice said she will reserve judgment until the coalition government is formed and its policies clear. She said she has seen no evidence yet that the government intends to meet international demands to recognize Israel, renounce violence, and abide by agreements made by previous secular Palestinian governments. Isn't this an interesting idea? You have the U.S. ostensibly committed to a spirit of democracy in letter and in law in these Palestinian territories. The Palestinian territories come up with an election result that the American government does not like. So now there is an attempt to say that in some significant fashion, the U.S. is not going to play ball with those elements of that new government that we don't like, even though that's what the people of that territory actually chose. That presents a well-framed contradiction that has been talked about from time to time on this show, and we see it once again. But in this whole business of Hamas, shortly this morning, we're going to take a look at a piece by Brendan O'Neill for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative that documents something that the former American ambassador to Saudi Arabia has also publicly indicated, and that is that Israel helped to create Hamas. Why and for what purpose? We'll get into that shortly this morning. But at any rate, Rice is indicating that the U.S. has strong reservations about Mahmoud Abbas and the Fatah movement having some sort of a federation or union with Hamas in a Palestinian unity government. But this whole statement that is made here, that she's going to reserve judgment until the coalition government is formed and its policies clear, she says that she has seen no evidence yet that the government intends to meet international demands to recognize Israel, renounce violence, and abide by agreements made by the previous secular Palestinian government. You know what's fascinating here? We have an example of the complete double standard, don't we? Between what we hold Israel to and what we hold everyone else to in the Middle East. In the first place, let's talk about nuclear policy. Israel is a non-signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel has an incredible number of nuclear weapons and biological and chemical agents. Why are we not saying that Israel must bring those weapons programs under the same degree of international scrutiny that we are demanding of Iran, for example? No mention of that on the part of the Secretary of State for all of the obvious reasons. Then this whole business of the renunciation of violence. Why is it that these comments are always directed at the Palestinians? There is no suggestion here that Israel's illegal occupation of Gaza and the West Bank, declared illegal by international law, no, absolutely no discussion of the ongoing character of that occupation and the utilization of brutal levels of military violence and military infrastructure to implement that illegal occupation. Absolutely not one word of mentioning of this on the part of the American Secretary of State. So when you get into outlets like AlJazeera.info, which is an American site found in Dalton, Georgia, and look at some of the pictures that come out of there every day from Gaza and the West Bank in regard to what the Israeli Defense Forces are doing. No mention of any of that whatsoever on the part of the American Secretary of State. Which leads us to something that, of course, happened several years ago when Rachel Corrie of Olympia, Washington, was murdered by the Israeli Defense Forces, who used a Caterpillar bulldozer to run her over as she was trying to work peacefully to protect this operation from taking care of the bulldozing of some Palestinian homes. that were being presumably destroyed in order that there might continue to be ongoing Jewish encroachment in areas that international law says are not part of the state of Israel. There has been no formal public denunciation of that act on the part of Israel by either the president or the secretary of state or anyone else in the American national security or diplomatic establishments. Why? And that even involved the murder of an American citizen. A very public situation that was talked about worldwide, was in all the papers, was in all the internet media at the time. Yet to this day, there has been not one iota of a demand on the part of our country that Israel apologize for the deliberate murder of this particular American citizen. Interesting. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can call me today at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274.
4974 Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just a reminder that you can support RBN by contacting us in the World Wide Web at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. You can obtain that directly from RBN for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by, again, using the web and connecting up with us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also give me a call today at any point during the show at 1-800-313-9443. That call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Again, we were talking just before the break about this whole story out of Haaretz today in Israel about Condoleezza Rice indicating that this Palestinian unity government is going to complicate U.S. peacemaking efforts. Isn't it interesting, once again, that there is some insistence on the part of the U.S. that they want this new Palestinian unity government comprised of both Hamas and Fatah to abide by international demands to recognize Israel, renounce violence, and abide by agreements made by the previous secular Palestinian government. No suggestion here, number one, that the Israeli nuclear and biological and chemical weapons programs come under international scrutiny. No suggestion that Israel has perpetually violated international law by what they're doing in both the West Bank and Gaza. No suggestion that Israel abide by the 1993 Oslo Accord, which committed Israel to a withdrawal from those occupied territories and the creation of a movement, a political process toward an independent Palestinian state. No suggestion that Israel has an obligation to negotiate the status of the eastern part of Jerusalem, and no suggestion whatsoever that Israel has violated the Oslo Accords by continuing to provide funding and logistics and manpower for new Jewish settlements that are deemed illegal under international law, that are a violation of what Israel agreed to at Oslo, and that involve all kinds of American tax dollars that are going toward these settlements and going toward the continued illegal occupation of Palestinian land. This, I think, coming out of Haaretz today, shows us the complete discrepancy between what the U.S. says that it believes and what it does when it comes to the whole issue of the Middle East and Central Asia, and specifically who and what it supports across the board when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Brendan O'Neill has a piece on Hamas for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. When we come back, we'll take a look at that in the next few minutes of the show. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.